Let me pray. Father, our Lord Jesus, pray for his disciples. Set them apart or make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth, he said. And we pray, Father, and we thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Father, we pray that you would cause these children and that you would cause us this morning as we think into your word and the outcomes of your word by your Spirit, that we may desire it more like gold, more than gold, that we would find your word to be sweeter than honey, knowing both its warnings and the joy of keeping it, in which there is great reward. In Jesus' name, amen. I said last week, we're doing a series, Transform series, for 7 weeks, and this is the second week, so last week really set the tone. If you did miss last week, let me encourage you to go online and listen to it, because really all this other weeks flow out of the first week, but we will remind you anyway, so we're good with that. So. This morning we move on to our physical health, so this second area. We want to think differently as followers of Jesus, don't we? If we're his sheep, if we're his disciples, as Jesus talks about, we're not who we were. We're not who we once were. And God's word and his Spirit are calling and empowering us to think and to act and to live differently. We're not who we were. And last week we looked at spiritual health, and next week, as I said, we'll speak about mental health. Not me, someone who's in that field, so that'll be good. But this morning we're focusing on physical health, and of course I'm the perfect candidate for that. Now, as I thought about this term physical health, I thought it could be understood in many different ways, or misunderstood. And so I wanted to say firstly, the angle that I'm taking this morning when we're speaking about this term physical health is the physical care and honouring of our bodies. That's what I'm talking about this morning, the physical care and honouring of our bodies. I'm not saying that spiritual health means that we will not be physically sick. So if we have our spiritual health sorted, we won't be physically sick or diseased or anything like that. That's not true, and I'm not saying that this morning. So don't hear that. I'm not talking about disease or sickness or failings in our bodies, but rather I'm talking about the care and concern to look after our bodies. The physical health and welfare of our bodies that God is concerned with. And last week, you may remember, we focused on two things when we looked at spiritual health. We looked at the need first to assess ourselves together as to whether we have been transformed by the gospel, whether we have received this first transformation through the Spirit, through the gospel, to see whether or not we are like that younger son, remember, who experienced his father's love as he came to his senses and realized his sin. His father ran to him and showed compassion. So whether we're this son, or whether we're more like the older son, who was, you might remember, unrepentant and bitter in his heart towards his father. Secondly, we focused there on the focus of the series, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to have renewed thinking. For us not to think about our faith as a flu shot that we got one time, that we experienced, but instead to see that the evidence of our faith today is that we are continuing to be transformed by the Spirit of God in our lives today. It's not just a once-off flu shot. And this fruit of the Spirit is bearing in our lives. We see it in our lives. And last week we focused especially on our minds. In verse 2 of Romans 12, let me read that to you. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But this week we want to come back to verse 1, to verse 1 of chapter 12. Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, he says, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Just realised I didn't hand these out. If I can get someone to hand them out. If you want to write notes, but at the end there's a section for goals as well, so this will be handed out. But there you go. Thanks, guys. So, Paul says here, let me read that again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And last week we saw that in view of, or in light of, here, the mercies of God, It draws our minds back to everything before in the 11 chapters before of Romans that has come. And we saw this wonderful summary of those mercies of God in chapter 5 of Romans. And this verse really sums up, if you missed that, this verse sums it up. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he says, Christ died for us. When we were deserving of God's right and just punishment, and while we were still deserving that, instead of punishment, he provided his son to die for us, in our place, for our punishment. God gave us mercy and grace when we deserved just punishment. He poured it on Jesus. And we saw that Jesus' death on the cross is God, as that father in that story that Jesus tells, it's God running to us. It's him showing us, the younger son, grace and mercy. Thank you. God the Father is offering us, all of us, compassion and mercy. Not what we deserve. And likewise, all people who agree with God about their sin and trust in Jesus as King are made sons and daughters of God, as Romans talks about. They're given a certain hope. They're given eternal life. So therefore, brothers and sisters, in light of all this mercy of God that we have seen and experienced in these 11 chapters that we've talked about and that we have experienced here in our lives from God's mercy, in light of all this, he says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, he says. Offer your bodies, he says here. Offer your bodies. He goes on to talk about being transformed by the renewing of our minds, as we spoke about last week, immersing ourselves in God completely. But here, it is specifically our bodies, isn't it, that we are to offer? Our bodies. It is every part of us that we are to offer to God in lives of worship. And the Greek thinking at the time when Paul's writing this letter, the Greek thinking was that the body was a burden. There was a phrase in that time that the body is a tomb. The idea was that the human spirit was imprisoned and it longed to escape from the body. And so it was widely thought at the time that what we do with our bodies, it's really not important. It really doesn't matter. Sexual gratification outside of marriage, it's unimportant. Because what we do with our bodies was thought as disconnected to our spirits, to our spiritual life. But here, what we read here, it defeats that idea perfectly, completely. God absolutely cares here how we use our bodies. In fact, Paul will tell us in another letter to followers of Jesus, do you not know that your bodies, in chapter 6 of Corinthians, are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. And he goes on to say, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. God is concerned with how we use our bodies. Everything that he has given us, our bodies, our minds, our spirits, everything of us, it is his. And as we have seen in these scriptures here, for those who have trusted in Christ and accepted him as King, we are his. We belong to him. He has bought us. We are God's. We were bought at a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was paid, was shed to purchase us from sin to God, from punishment to relationship. It is the giving of our complete selves to God in worship that we're called to do. And that, you know what? We should want to do when we realize his mercies. It is a natural outflowing. All of us to God, everything of us to God. Now, when we're thinking about our physical health in this way, it can be hard, I think, for scriptures to flood into our minds. It was for me when I thought about this topic. I think this is because looking after our bodies is more of an outcome, I think, of spiritual health than a direct scriptural focus in the Bible. What I mean is that even the scriptures mentioned before that I've read this morning about our bodies being temples of the Holy Spirit, the context is not talking about looking after our bodies with exercise and care. It's not. The context is regarding not committing sexual immorality with prostitutes, which was the past life of some of those in the Corinthian church, you might remember. So physical health, we see here, is more of a big idea or an overflow of the scriptural principles than I would say a direct idea that we see over and over again in scriptures. I think it's good to say also we want to be careful, we want to really be careful when we come to the Bible with topics, not to stretch the scriptures and take things out of context, to make them say what they don't say. For example, a well-known one, to use the story of Daniel and his three friends, I think, as an example of why we should eat vegetables or eat healthy, it's a big stretch in a story that focuses on Daniel and his three friends' faithfulness to God. Choosing, you might remember, not to defile themselves by the eating of the king's food. What I mean is the principle in that story, and we looked at Daniel not, I think, only in the last year, the principle in that story is clearly the faithfulness and trust and loyalty of these men to their God. That's the principle we see in that story. And this is meant for them at the time, for whatever reason, this meant for those men that they weren't going to eat the king's food. Because we're not told more than that. We're not given more than that in the story. We can push our ideas on the story, but we're not given that. We're not told it was because the food was unhealthy or because it was McDonald's. We're not told that in the story. We're only told, and this is the focus of the story, that the action of eating that food they believed would defile them. They believed there was something in that, whether it was something going on with the king and their loyalty to Yahweh. We're not told, but we're not told that it was because it was unhealthy. So we must be careful not to say more than we're given in a story. And I think people can do that often when we look at a topical idea. These scriptures we've seen so far this morning, though, I think are far more helpful and faithful. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices, that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Even these are not speaking, as we said, primarily about our physical health and looking after ourselves. But we must also see the wisdom of God's word does speak into all of life. God's wisdom, his word, speaks into all of life. Even if it doesn't directly deal with a certain thing, it's not going to talk about how we should drive our cars, is it? It's just not going to do that. There was no cars. And so here, these principles that flow out of God's word that do help us to talk about this topic of physical health. I hope that's helpful. There's another scripture you may be well familiar with that I think is helpful as we look at this. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now again, the context here is not physical health, but about freedom in Christ to eat meat, even meat offered to idols in the context, but to be careful not to cause others who might not understand this freedom to eat to stumble or sin over this freedom. So it's a passage about being careful not to cause them to stumble, but telling us that we're free. But again, here this principle that overflows from this passage, whatever you do, do it all. Whatever you do it all for the glory of God. And as we've seen, your bodies, everything you are, belongs to God. Therefore, you are to honour God with your bodies in the way you live. Try now. Now, I think it's probably right to stop here and to say, as I sort of joked earlier, I think this is something I struggle with, physical health. My weight is not where I think it should be. And maybe it's good that I'm speaking on this subject this morning to you. I was kind of hoping that Tony would do this week, but he is conveniently at another church. But I think me and Lee are probably both hoping that. He's not here, and I think it's right, even in God's wisdom, that I'm speaking on it. I confess to you my failure in this area. It's been a struggle for me over the years with my physical health. I love food. I really do enjoy good food. And tuna is an amazing cook, which doesn't help well. But it makes me, I think it makes me possibly more susceptible than some of us to this area. But let me say, that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. It is in many different ways that we see this area being abused by myself and by us. I'm sure there's different ways we see this. Some like me eat more than they should and exercise less than they should. Others might not have this problem with food, but we see the physical health abuse in our image. We care too much about what we look like. Maybe we always have to look the best and have the best clothes or whatever. We see this abuse in multiple ways. Others may abuse their bodies in the use of drugs or alcohol or sex outside of marriage. There's so many areas we could look at where we see this being abused. A struggle with physical health can look very different for each of us here this morning, let me say. But I want to encourage you to join me and pray with me that we would do better at honouring God with our bodies in this way. That we would value better than we do our physical health. It is something, a very potent issue in the Western world, isn't it? Something in some countries they don't even have to think about because there's not an excess of cheap food readily available at any time. Everything should be done in our lives, everything should be done, everything, to glorify and honour our God. There's no area off limits to Him. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we must follow Him with everything. Our bodies are a gift from God. They may be broken and even getting ever closer to their use-by date, but that is no excuse to treat them badly. The family members, if it's our desire to honour God and glorify Him in all we do, then our desire should be to look after those He's given us in our life as well, right? So the family members who we're responsible for, our friends, the people we love. My physical health should matter to me, it should be important to me, because Suna is important to me, because Reuben is important to me, because my family and you guys are important to me. It should matter to me as we stretch out of why we honour God with everything. We want to honour Him with our relationships and the people He's placed in our lives. If I'm overweight and struggling and sick and at a greater risk of disease and death moves ever closer, then I'm not being very responsible in the care of the things that I'm commanded by God to value. I want to say here though, I also think that our bodies, when we think about our bodies and the care of our bodies, I think it's very easy for us to go to places with this that are unhealthy as well. What I mean is that there are extremes on this subject as well. And 1 Timothy 4 says, For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now again, Paul's point here is godliness, not physical training or physical exercise. However, we do see in passing that it does have some value. Of course it does. You don't have to study nutrition, I haven't, to understand that what we put in our bodies affects not just our health and our life expectancy, but it also affects our mood and our feelings, the way we relate to each other even. But there is another extreme, I think, also, when we hold these two in tension, the extreme that says that this is everything, that physical health is everything, that our physical health is of primary and greatest and highest importance. And there's almost a worship of the body and health, and we certainly see that in our culture. And that is not the way the scriptures put it. That's not the way God talks about it. And as I've alluded this morning, we have to get principles to find this subject. It's not a focus. Physical health is to be an overflow of spiritual health. Spiritual health should lead us in a healthy overflow to think about our physical health. As we realize that we are God's possession, every part of us is His, that He bought us in Christ, including our bodies, and that we are called to glorify Him and honour Him with all of us. As we realise this, then it's right that physical health should become important to us. But never Let me say, never at the expense of spiritual health. I'm not saying that the gym comes before my time in God's Word. And yet I think that my time in God's Word should lead me to a life that has the gym in it. And when I say gym, I just mean exercise. I don't actually like the gym and I don't go to the gym. But when I say gym, I just mean it just sounded cool. A life with walks and jogs, if you can jog. I'm still pretending I can't. With exercise in whatever ways you can. And if you want to learn how to jog, let me say, go see Mr. Cowan. Okay, he's, wow, amazing. Anyway, sidetracked there. But life with walks and jogs, if you can, with whatever exercise you can do, because there's a varied range among us of people who could do different things. I imagine people could jog here. I won't name myself. But I imagine there's people who definitely can't jog, but we can do exercise. We can look after ourselves in whatever ways. There are small ways as well as big ways. And as we think about this, we want to think about eating healthy as well, looking after our bodies and things that we eat, as I talked about before. Now, I'll be the first person to tell you that I think that life without eating what you love is not life at all. That's a bit far. But what I mean is, I think, yes, I'm getting some amens on the back, that's great. But what I mean to say is, on my birthday, right, I'm going to have the thing I love, right? I love ribs, and I'm just going to eat some ribs on my birthday. At special occasions, let's celebrate in moderation. Like, God has given us good things, and it is right and good that we thank and enjoy Him by having those things. But God has given us these good things, and we should enjoy them. But when Paul talks about, it's interesting, when Paul talks about false teachers who will come, look at this in Timothy chapter 4. They forbid, this is about false teachers, they forbid people to marry, wow, and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Now again, the context is about a specific issue going on in the church, but we see a principle here, again, that we're free to enjoy what God has created for us. We should be filled with thanksgiving to God for the good things that He gives us to enjoy. But that does not mean, does it? It does not mean that we should abuse our freedom by the excess of things that are not good in excess. We read elsewhere by Paul, everything is permissible for me, he says, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything, including food. We honour God with our physical health as we seek to be healthy people with healthy lifestyles in our eating and exercise, and let me say, in our thinking and in our words and in everything. We want to be healthy people with all the expressions of our bodies and our minds and our spirits, all of us. Because we want to honour God with our bodies, with all of us, and be faithful to do our best to look after those things that God has entrusted to us. It's about stewardship. It's about stewardship. God has given us bodies, and ultimately they are His possession, and we need to look after what He has entrusted to us. It doesn't mean that we don't celebrate. That honours Him also. When we have our church anniversary, when we have Kath's wedding coming up, we're going to celebrate. We're going to eat that cake. I'm certainly going to eat that cake. But let me encourage you, if you're anything like me, and you seem to have a celebration coming up often, if you're part of a church, I think that's the case, or something where there's always the wrong sort of food around, I think this is maybe something more that me and Tony can relate to, just wherever you go seems to be just bad food. It's so easy, isn't it? And it's so cheap as well to eat bad food, isn't it? I mean, it is for me. Let me encourage you though, to work hard. If you're like me, you might need to work hard at setting limits and rules even for yourself. You might want to help yourself in not abusing your body by working with someone who's better than you at that. And Sue's really good for me, and I just say to her, look, I need to do this. She says, you should do this, and we try and work at it together. So just setting limits. If you're like me, that's not necessarily for everyone. Maybe it's someone who doesn't need to follow something strictly, you've got it pretty well handled. But if you're anything like me, let me encourage you. I found that helpful. But I suppose that what I'm encouraging us overall in this morning is that we should take in the care, we should take taking care of our bodies seriously. We should take this seriously. We shouldn't laugh it off and use Christian freedom to excuse poor choices, bad living, and bad stewardship of what God's given us. Because this is what God has given us. And it's knowing it will wear out like a garment. It's knowing we're going to get a new one. Awesome. And let me say again, I'm talking about disease, and I'm not talking about the disease and sickness. And those things happen to us, and they're not in our control. And our spiritual health, I'm not saying that there's an equal sign that connects those two things at all. In fact, if we want to do the best we can to have a lifestyle that maintains a body that enjoys life, while at the same time maintaining healthy habits toward the healthy body for His glory. So enjoying both ends of that spectrum. Because it will help us in our service to Him. It will help us in our service to one another. That's the truth. There is another area of physical health, though, just as we close, that I think is important to mention. Maybe not something we think about in this category. But it's rest. It's our rest. And I think we're really bad in Australia and probably the Western world, I don't know, maybe all over the world. I mean, you just think about Japan, wow, they work their brains off. But we're really bad at rest. We're really bad at it. And we live in such a busy culture where there's always talk about time management and tasks and to-do lists. I'm sure for most of us we hear that language. And it's right, isn't it? It's right that we work hard and well. We've seen, do all that you do for the glory of God. We want to work hard and well. But we must also rest well. We must also rest well. And I want to encourage you this morning to, if you haven't already, designate a day a week in your life to rest. To do the things that you don't do on the other days. Do things that refresh you. Do things that will bring enjoyment and worship of God. Because God gave the Israelites a Sabbath, didn't He? For their good. It was for man, not man for the Sabbath, Jesus says. And so there's a principle there for us of rest. Okay, yeah, sure, some week that day is going to be taken up because someone's moving and we're helping them or whatever. But what I mean to say is take that seriously. Refreshment is so important because we burn out if we don't do that. Make sure you have at least a day a week where you do the things that refresh you, not where you just do all the house chores that you didn't get done the other 6 days of the week. No, as best as you can, try and work hard to have a day where you just don't do what you normally do. Go for a walk. Do something that you like. Because to work hard is to honour God, but to rest well is also to honour God. It's to honour Him just the same. And we need to rest. Our bodies need to rest. That's why we get sick if we fail to rest and regularly. So don't make excuses of busyness or that you feel guilty when you rest. Your physical health is important. It honours God. You shouldn't feel guilty about resting. He's told you to rest. So rest refreshes our bodies and our minds and allows us to continue to be faithful in the times of work and busyness. Do things that will bring peace and enjoyment. Because our physical health matters. I hope you've seen that this morning. I'm sure you don't need massive convincing. But let me say, sometimes we just think of this area kind of outside of our faith. Like, oh, you know, we've got our faith in Jesus and then we've kind of got our physical health over here. But that's just not the case. God doesn't let us think that way. We don't think in categories. It's all of us. And it's all important. Because a right spiritual health should lead us to a right physical health. And let me say that to you as someone who struggles in this. We want to be found faithful, good stewards with what God has entrusted us with. Of course, as I said, it's going to look different for all of us, isn't it? Like, this is going to look different, you know. Maybe for me it's going to be way more walking a week than someone else here because you just can't do that. But let me encourage you, wherever you're at in this, to make it a priority. Don't use excuse. Don't use excuses, but seek to be faithful with what God has given you. As we close, I want to provide an opportunity. Handed out those sheets. We did this last week. Just you might already have something in mind that you think, you know what, I want to work on that. I want to go for 3 walks a week. I want to go for a walk a week. I want to get a little thing at home that I can walk on or something. I'm not very good in this area, so I'm sure there's other people who know stuff. Becky is a GP, so go to Becky, and she'll give you probably some sort of regime to go through. That sounds good.
But also, can I say something I found helpful, and I mentioned this before, seriously, go to your GP. Like, if you're struggling in this area and you think, oh, I need help, they'll help you out. Find someone in your life who you think's going to be good, accountability, can kind of, I've said this to some people in my life, I've said, look, keep me in check in this area. I just invite you to speak into my life in this area. So those people know they can come up to me and say, hey, Tubby. Or whatever, you know, they can come up to me, they have that freedom. You don't all have that freedom, just those select people who I won't name. But at the bottom of the sheets I've handed out, maybe just take some time now, maybe you want to just think of it, if you don't have to write it down, but there's something from this morning. You might already be pretty healthy in this area, but there's something you feel like you're sliding in, or maybe for you it's just praying for people here, praying for us, praying for me in this struggle, that we would be faithful, that we would be disciplined, and that we would be good stewards of what God has given us. Try to be practical. I find that helpful. I've said to myself at times, like, I remember when I was going to Bible college, oh man, wow, morning teas were just so bad. So good and so bad at the same time. And sooner or me kind of devised a thing that I'd only have one kind of whatever it was, I don't know, donut or whatever. But that was it for the whole week, you know, like, so I just had one, and all the other kids were, I won't name names, but they probably could, some of them were skinny and stuff. But looking after ourselves, right, looking after ourselves, it takes work, and sometimes you don't like rules and stuff, but sometimes, if you're like me, you need them, you just need a bit more of accountability. Let me just allow a few minutes. And if you're thinking, I can't think of anything to write down, maybe you just want to think of a name of someone that you can talk to about this. Feel free to talk to me or Becky or someone else who's that way inclined. Trish looks pretty. She thinks about her health. Oh, well, I'll stop there. I'll just stop. It's getting out of hand. Let me pray. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we do want your word and your spirit to touch every area of our lives. We don't want to be found bad stewards of that which you've entrusted to us. But Lord, we don't want to live in guilt. We could always be better than we are. So help us in the mix between the extremes of the worship of body, but also of the worship of food and the worship of other things, Father, that aren't helpful for us. So please teach us, help us to be helpful to each other, help us not to discourage each other, but to be building each other up. Help us to think of ideas and ways in which we can be disciplined and help each other in this struggle, Lord, and forgive us, Father, for the times we have made our bodies and food an idol. And help us, Father, to make you our God, so that in all these areas we think about them, we might be led by what is glorifying and honouring to you. And so we just commit this area to you, and we ask that the things we've written down and the things we think of today, you would help us by your Spirit and by the help of one another to be found more faithful in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.